Shamshi-Adad's kingdom did not outlast his reign. When he died in 1776 BC, the borders of his state diminished to the region surrounding the city of Ashur. But he and his sons will appear regularly in the diplomatic correspondence that survives from this era. And it gives us a sign of the power of the northern ruler and his state. I'd also like you to keep in mind for our future discussions of Assyria that our earliest evidence revolves around its role as a trading center. This may help explain the motivations for creating the large empire of the first millennium, which tended to control trade routes. And so our focus on the old Assyrian merchants, even though it doesn't provide political evidence for the era, does give us a good social background for what the interests of the Assyrians were. The reasons for the collapse of the Assyrian state are unknown, but Shamshi-Adad had to face numerous enemies along his large borders, and this may have eventually undermined the strength of his state. The constant warfare required a lot of demands of labor, and this may have had economic repercussions that we don't know about. The written and archaeological records from this area of northern Mesopotamia will be very sparse for the next four centuries. So we are introduced to Assyria, we get very excited about it because we see all these great merchants, and start to see its focus on militarism, and then it just disappears for the next 400 years or so. When Assyria re-emerges in the 13th century, it will dominate all of Mesopotamia and the western states along the Levantine coast, so all the way west to Syria-Palestine. Our first study of the Assyrians draws most heavily on evidence that was discovered 500 miles away in Anatolia. The merchant colony of Karum Kanesh brings to light the lives of families of merchants who were engaged in a risky but extremely profitable caravan trade that connected southern Mesopotamia and Anatolia. The details of financing, the arduous trips, and the home life in Assur are preserved in the letters and receipts kept by merchants. And really, it is only through the text that we have any idea about this level of detail of daily life. Archaeological evidence would never preserve the artifacts that were the goods that were involved in this trade, so textiles would not be preserved in the archaeological record, tin would be used. And so without the texts, we would be missing this great glimpse of really very immediate concerns of family and personal finance. We have a lot less evidence for what's happening in Assur itself until it is taken over by a foreigner, Shamshi-Adad. In the next lecture, we will meet one of the figures best known from Mesopotamian history, Hammurabi of Babylon. Hammurabi will come to the throne of the city-state of Babylon. This is a time when in southern Mesopotamia, the city-states are still the major political unit, and the loyalty to the city-state is what keeps the region from unifying. Hammurabi's success as a military leader and his political skill in governing the region break down this old sense of loyalty to the city-state, and it breaks it down permanently. So Hammurabi really lays the foundation for much later empires that are even better known. The Assyrians, the Persians, even Alexander's empire, all owe their skill, their success in governing to what Hammurabi is able to create in the 18th century.